I'm going to sing a song. This song goes back a ways. And yes, I am going to preach. And yes, it'll be about 15 or 20 minutes later before we eat, okay? But that's okay, right? 30 years, for heaven's sakes. I won't be here another 30 years from now. So keep it calm, okay? This song, I was talking to somebody this last week, and I think they were from over in North Carolina. But they were talking about this being one of their favorite songs. And I used to sing this song way back years ago. And I have sang it here a few times also. But it's a realistic song because this time is coming. It's called midnight. And at midnight, there will be a cry. It is the midnight cry. Hit it, brother. It's the wrong midnight. Huh? Would somebody help that boy? Help them, Sylvia. They need help. The sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds a call at the midnight cry. We'll be going home when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call his children. Christ shall rise to meet him in the air, and then those that remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry. Comes again. Are you looking for that day? I sure hope so. If you know him, you can look for him because he's coming. Listen now. I look around me. I see prophecies fulfilling. And the signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, "Son, go get your children at the midnight cry." Listen. Bride of Christ shall rise when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call his children. Brenda didn't think I had that much wind left in me. I could look at her face. Wow. He's got wind still. Yes, Nancy. Amen. 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 Nancy, I appreciate you. I do. For years and years and years, Nancy has been faithful. She's faithful to her Lord. She's not faithful to a church. She's faithful to the Lord. Just so happens that she comes here to Liberty Fellowship, but she's faithful to make sure her children and her grandchildren know the Lord and that they know that they need to know him before they leave here. Before that midnight cry comes. Yes, and by the way, has anybody been here since the first day? One, two, three, four, five, six. We've had, in 30 years, a lot of things happen, don't they? How many of y'all been here 20 years? More hands are going up for that. Well, if you're here the first, you're here for the 20, right? 15, I see back in the sound room. Sylvia, was that 20 or 25 or what? 24. Yeah. And over those 24 years, a whole lot has happened. And as I heard a few minutes ago, a lot of folks have gotten saved here. This has been a soul-saving station, folks. And folks have moved all over the country from here, and they keep telling people where they have had attended church when they got saved. This is a place for renewing your relationship with the Lord. It's a place for getting a relationship with the Lord. It's a place you can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One thing I am so proud of is that God still has his hand on this church. Didn't say I was proud of us. I say I'm proud that God still has his hand on this church. And this church is not afraid of emotions. Y'all afraid of your emotions? Please don't be afraid of your emotions. And sometimes when we get in public, even in church, we are so afraid to allow our emotions to show. You can't do that. You can't do that. And folks will say, well, I'm a realist. Like emotions are not tied to realism. Realism is what will cause your emotions if you're where you need to be. I don't get emotional about nothing I know about or something that's not real, do you? Why would I get emotional about something that's not real? It just doesn't make sense. So if you are a realist, please get, it all has to do with where your relationship is with God. If there's going to be tears from your eyes, it'll be because of your relationship with the Lord. Let me share a little bit about you because I'm an expert on tears. I looked it up. That's why I'm not really, but I No, I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express. But I did look up what causes tears, and I'm going to give you some things because you're going to get in touch with yourself today and your relationship with the Lord. You're going to find out it's okay to cry. And I've had people for the last nearly 6 months say, it's okay for you to cry. It's okay for you to cry. And I've told people all of my life, it's okay to cry. When your emotions are touched, when things happen in your life that creates that, go ahead, it's okay. God created the way for you to cry. Men, amen? Yeah, it's okay to do that. But here are some things that will cause you to cry. Love. It will. Sadness. Pain. A broken heart. Happiness. Sometimes you'll be crying. Some people say, what's wrong with you? Oh, nothing. I'm just happy. Now, the world doesn't understand that. But if you know the Lord and your relationship with Him is where it needs to be, there'll be a lot of happy moments. When you think about going home to where Tom was singing about, and your Lord, like Mike sang about, love those songs that tell about my Savior. When we get there, there'll be some tears. And it's okay. If the tears come down, just flick them off, wipe them, whatever you need to do, and go right on. By the way, other people need to see you. It's kind of like priming the pump. Some folks are afraid to cry, and if they see it's okay with you, do you imagine how that could turn the faucet on for them? And is it needful to cry? It's needful. It's not just an emotion that could flow through you. It's needful. And I've heard folks say that that our tears are, that God bottles these. Now, I don't know about that. I haven't read that. But I have heard people say, if I could catch that in a bottle, it'd be worth something. And maybe that's because some folks don't cry a lot and their tears are valuable. I don't know. But every tear is valuable. Every tear. So I looked this up. Now, you, get ready. You're going to get educated right here. And it could cause you to get emotional. Okay? Because it's real. It's true. Tears originate in the lacrimal gland. Now, y'all know where that is. It's in your feet. I'm just kidding you. It wouldn't be in your feet. A lacrimal gland would be right along here. That's where they originate. But there are different types of tears. I looked that up too. There are basal tears, reflex tears. I remember those reflex tears when I had a septectomy. I can't spell it, but I can say it because I've said it enough over my life. I had a septectomy done, and when they took the packing out of my septum, I cried. And I was in the Marine Corps. It didn't make any difference. It was a reflex tears. When you get up in here close to your eyes and that happens, you're going to cry. I'll tell you that right now, okay? But then there is the emotional tears. Now, the emotional tears are triggered by strong feelings. Now, I had to stop when I read this part. They're triggered by strong feelings. Now, I don't know how long it's been since you had an emotional thought about your relationship with the Lord and how strong that feeling really is. Maybe it's brings us down to realism as to how, what kind of relationship do we have with the Lord? How strongly do we love Him? How strongly do we want to see Him come back and take His children home? How strong are we in this? Because it says, by strong feelings. I've seen babies do this. You know, have you ever seen a baby try to cry? Because they know what will happen if they cry. Because mom, dad, or grandma, grandpa mostly, will give them whatever they want if they can cry. And I've seen these babies cry, sound exactly like they're just bawling. And you can look and there's not a tear one. So they've learned really well. Well, but I got news for you. The stronger the feeling, the more the tears. Now, I'm going to leave that spiritual note up to you, okay? The stronger the feeling of your relationship with the Lord, the more the tears. It'll happen because it comes from strong feelings such as joy and sadness. But sadness can come from your relationship with the Lord too, and you may wonder about that. Well, I'll get to it here in just a minute, because in the Bible there are a lot of people who cried honest to goodness tears. Did you know that your eyes need the tears because it needs to wash them out? Now, I know all of you knew that. You learned that in health department or the health class. We say if you cry, it'll clean your eyes out and they'll be healthier eyes. And that's true. We know that. But I also believe that we'll have healthier hearts. And I'm talking about the heart that loves the Lord. I'm talking about the heart and soul of us. I believe that also will be healthier if we just come around to where we don't mind showing our emotions and crying in a service like this or around one of your brothers or sisters. It's quite all right to tell another person, a sinner, a lost person who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you're telling them, if you're witnessing them and you tell them how much God loves you, that ought to bring a little water to the eye, folks. If we're honest about it, it should bring a little moisture to the eyes where the tears can get out. So a few tears are a problem. If we just cry a few tears, it's a problem for our eyes, and it's also a problem for our heart and soul. I promise you, that's the truth. And I'm going to show you some scriptures here that'll prove that, because some famous people have cried. By the way, when you cry because of your relationship with the Lord, it touches God's heart. It does. It touches his heart, and there's plenty of places in the Bible where we can, according to the scriptures, prove that. And it'll also touch the heart of that sinner. It'll also touch the heart of yourself. It'll touch yourself. When you get to that point to where you cry, it's kind of a reversal thing. It comes right back into you, and you're relieved to be able to cry. You're relieved to be able to shed those tears that says, I have a problem, or I have happiness, and this is the way I'm expressing it. And God gave us this very pure, good way to express what's going on inside of us. And I thank God for that, don't you? I don't like dry-eyed religion. I just don't think there's any place for dry-eyed religion. I believe we need to show our emotions because of it. Let's just take a look. First of all, we're going to take a look at Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, and we're going to see him in a form that you hardly ever see him, and that is where he's crying, where he's weeping. Now, there's a reason why he weeps. Let's take a look at it and see. You remember when he looked out over a city. Now, you may have never looked out over Johnson City and cried. Maybe it's time. Boy, it got quiet. Maybe it's time that we go up on Tannery Knob, look down over Johnson City, and weep some tears for those folks who need the Lord. Now, I'm not going into how many different types of folks we have. We know all the different types of folks. I'm just saying people who are lost. When the Lord looked at people, he saw the multitudes. He didn't see specific kinds of people. He just saw people. And it's either people with the Lord or people without the Lord. And when we look down over Johnson City, we know in a city of 60-some thousand people, how many of those would be lost. It ought to cause us to tear, because people are going to die and go to hell because they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's sad, folks. And sadness will bring a tear. It will. So Jesus looked down over the city of Jerusalem, and he cried. He cried because he saw their condition. He came to the grave of a man. Y'all know his name. He cried not just for Lazarus. I believe if he did cry for Lazarus, it was because he was getting ready to call his name and call him out of that grave. I think that would have been the only reason he would have cried for Lazarus. He saw the broken hearts of the sisters of Lazarus. He saw that. That tore him up. That touched his heart that they were feeling the way they were feeling. It touched his heart also that they didn't know the truth, or they didn't believe the truth. That not only was he Jesus a Savior, he was the resurrection. When he said, "I am the resurrection," they needed to know that, because their brother who had died and had been dead for 4 days, and when he said, "You show me where he's at," he said, "Oh no, Lord, don't you know that by now he stinketh? He's been dead 4 days." He said, "Just show me where he's at. Lazarus, come forth." And he did. But before he got to that dynamic point, that victorious moment for Lazarus and for our benefit, that he could resurrect Lazarus from the dead, he had already cried. He wept for different reasons. He wept. And folks, for different reasons, Christians ought to be weeping. It mainly ought to be for those who are lost, just as Jesus did. Well, when he came to the garden, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was there praying. And the Bible says that he cried. He cried. He wept. There were so many, and it wasn't because his disciples were back there sleeping while he was, after he told them not to. He just saw the whole world in a bad way because they were without a Savior, and he came to be their Savior. He wept. What he was getting ready to do was going to solve a whole lot of problems for a whole lot of people. Number one problem was where you might stand today, that you're saved. And if you're saved and you know that you can honestly say, "I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and I'm ready to go to heaven," it ought to overwhelm us, folks. It ought to overwhelm us that he would care so much that he would die for us, that we could have that salvation. He did. And I know there are tears of joy. I've been here in this church for 30 years, and I've seen tears of joy all over the congregation when the Lord is blessing your heart and the tears start flowing. And I may not be able to see the tear from where I stand, but I can see you wiping. I can see the Kleenex coming out and you wiping the tears. And I'm telling you, it touches my heart, but more than that, it touches the heart of God. Even with the tears of joy, because we know what joy, what this joy is all about. Joseph wept over his brethren. Remember, they did him wrong. You've been done wrong. Everybody's been done wrong. If you've been living any time at all in this life, you've been done wrong. But does that mean we wallow in it and bring up the drama of it all the time? No, we got to get rid of that and come to a place to where Joseph was when he remembered that his brother sold him into captivity. Then he saw his brothers again. It still filled his heart with love for them. It didn't matter what they did to him. And by the way, if you love your brother, it won't matter what they did to you. You'll love them anyway. And when you see them, if they did you wrong, that love will be even stronger then than before. I believe it magnifies that love that you have. And when he saw his brothers up there, that love was magnified for them, and he cried for them. He wanted to have that relationship back with them. And if you want that bad enough and you don't have it, it'll cause tears to your eyes. In this case, it was tears of joy for old Joseph. Remember what he did? He kissed them and wept. Have you ever had anybody to weep while they're kissing you? And the tears run off of their cheeks down your cheeks? Those warm tears from the eyes of a person who's being touched, guarantee it'll touch you. Guarantee it'll touch you. And when old Joseph kissed his brothers and wept, you know what happened after that? They began to talk to him. They weren't talking to him. when they came, they didn't and recognized him. They were too ashamed for one reason to talk to him. They had done him wrong, and they knew that. But when they saw what he was feeling, he didn't have to tell them. They could see it on his face. They could hear it in his voice. And when they heard that, and they heard forgiveness in his voice, you'll hear that when you see a tear. When they heard that forgiveness in his voice, they began to talk to him. And pretty soon they had a family reunion. And by the way, those family reunions that we sometimes don't like to go to, go and make up with a few of them, okay? Let the tears flow. It's okay. We got to get to where we can do this, folks. Oh, Joseph, he was one happy man when he did this. Are you grateful? Are you grateful for what God has done? Are you grateful for the fact that he's given you a wonderful church to worship in? Are you grateful that he's given you your mate? Are you grateful that he's given you your children? Are you grateful that he's given you your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? Are you grateful that you have each other as friends? That's what he wants to know. If we're grateful, it'll bring an emotion to your face. It'll bring an emotion to your glands. You might not remember what I call those glands. It doesn't matter what I call those glands. They're glands that release, and they don't release because you know the name of them. They release because of what's going on inside your heart and your soul. And it's okay when you feel grateful for what God has done. Look up and shed a tear of joy because of that gratefulness that's in your heart. But my favorite story, and I'll never have a more favorite story than this one, was when a woman in the Bible saw him and her heart was so grateful for what he had done for her in the past. And she found him and she went into where he was. She knelt over his feet. Her head hung out over his feet. And she cried and the tears dropped on his feet. And she washed his feet with her tears. And she dried his feet with her hair. And as the song goes, people around would say, "What is she doing? Why are you doing that? Why would you wash his feet with your tears? Why would you dry his feet with your hair? Why would you feel such emotion? Why would you do that?" And I can hear her as that song says, "Oh, you don't know what he did for me. You don't know what he did for me. He took me out of a miry clay. He took me off the banks of the banks of hell, the pit of hell itself. He's got me where I am now. That's who he is, and that's why I love him. That's why it's okay if I wash his feet with my tears. That's why it's okay if I dry his feet with my hair. That's why it's okay." And it, folks, I don't know about you, but that absolutely sets my soul on fire, that I know what he did for me. I know that without him, I would be nothing. I would have nothing. I wouldn't have that peace that passeth all understanding. I wouldn't have that hope that takes me right on into eternity. I wouldn't have any of that. And today I do have that. Today I do have that. And he said, "I'll never leave you, nor forsake you, not even to the end of the age." So do I have that? I have that. He gave that to me. And my heart is grateful because of that. Now, I wouldn't stand up here and tell you that I've never had regrets. I can't do that because it wouldn't be the truth. I do have regrets. Regrets will cause tears to come to your eyes. Really? Yeah. But you don't have to stay in that regret. You can just thank God that he gave you such a heart and soul that you do have regrets. If you never had regrets, That would mean you never recognized you did anybody wrong. That would mean you never recognized all the wrongs you did in your life. Now, do you hang on to them? Of course not. He says, if you'll ask forgiveness, I'll forgive. You repent, I'll forgive, and they'll be gone. But does that mean they're gone from our memory? No, it doesn't. And so that may be a regret for you the rest of your life. It doesn't make any difference. But you can still rejoice and let the tears that flow be the tears of rejoicing, because he's taken care of that regret. He can take care of that regret. That regret can be gone. But there are other people who had regrets. Esau had a regret. Now, I got to read this to you because it may have been some time since you read this. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36, I'm going to turn back there and read that for you because I think it's necessary that we do that. If you have your Bibles, listen to this. If you don't, it's okay. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house. Now, remember the woman I was talking about? She was in a Pharisee's house. Do you all remember the Pharisees? Oh, these were the folks that were too good for her. They would have been the folks too good for you. They would have been the folks who had everything planned out. Everything was great. They didn't need her or them or anyone else. But when Esau found no place of repentance, here's what he said. Now watch this. Because gratitude can turn to a regret. In a heartbeat, it can. You can be a grateful heart, and then it can be a regretful heart in a moment, in a flash. Well, Esau came to this place in his life, and here's what he said. He said this, "For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected." You ever been rejected? Oh, I have. And I'm sure you have for different reasons. But he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance. How sad is that? How regretful was he when he found no place of repentance? Folks, that's a sad place to be. Though he sought it carefully with tears. There were tears in his eyes, and that came from something deep within him that he needed that cleared out of his life. You may have some things today that you need to clear out of your life. It's something that's bothering you. It may be a regret for something you did to someone else. It may be a regret, and that could be years back. It doesn't make any difference how long we've hung on to it. If it's a regret that you've got to get rid of, don't waste your time getting rid of it. Go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I am so regretful. I did this, and I want you to forgive me." And you go to that person that you did this wrong to and say, "I am so sorry. I did this to you, and I have regrets. I want you to forgive me." Folks, we'll never get rid of it if we don't. It's a truth of the matter. Regret, it'll cause tears. If you're a soul winner, have you ever went to try to win somebody to the Lord that you know didn't know Jesus Christ as Savior? It'll bring tears to your eyes. If you really are concerned about that person's soul enough to go to them and witness to them, it'll cause that. Because in Psalm 126, verse 6, it says, He that goeth forth, weeping, bearing precious seed, shall come again, doing what? Rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Do you think the weeping had anything to do with it? Oh, I do. I do think that. I believe that God uses people who are willing and able to weep when they go to win souls. I believe it takes that kind of heart to win a person. You can't take a cube of ice and go out and expect a person's heart to be warmed by it. It's not going to happen. We've got to be warm in our own hearts before we can go out and offer a Savior who can warm the hearts of others. If you're in a backslidden state, it should cause tears. Now, backslidden state means you knew the Lord, know the Lord, but you're not where you need to be. Does that bother us? I told you, some folks here today may be carrying something around in your life, and you may be as backslid as you can be. You sitting right here, and you say, but I'm in church. Doesn't make any difference. You know, you can sit in church. If you're backslidden, you can sit right here in church and be just as cold as ice. Backslidden? That's a person who knows the Lord. They're just not where they need to be. You may have been letting things slide for a long time. Don't let it slide any farther. Please don't. I'm speaking to you as an older man who has lived a lot of years, and I know you can't let that continue to go. You can't. That we would get so sad in our hearts because we're not where we need to be in our relationship with the Lord that we would actually do something about it. And I believe today would be a good day, don't you? We're not celebrating just 30 years for Liberty Fellowship Church. We're celebrating 30 years of God having his hand on this work. The first day I walked through those doors back there, not even the same doors as back then, but the day I walked in, and it wasn't because I liked the beauty of the building, because this building didn't look anything like this 30 years ago. But it sure was beautiful to me because I felt this is where the Lord wanted us. I felt this is where the Lord needed us in this community. Now you just look and see what he's done over the last 30 years, and I promise you, you'll see what I'm talking about. There was a rich man one time who died, and he lifted up his eyes in hell. And he cried. Now some folks say that just means he raised his voice. I believe it means a little bit more than that. His emotion couldn't help him then. It was too late. But I believe it was more than just the fact that he raised his voice. I believe he thought of his brothers back home who didn't know the Lord. And he said, please, please go back and let my brothers know that this is a real place. Please go back and tell my family members that I don't want them here. Please do that. I hope and pray we don't wait too late to tell somebody that they need the Lord. I hope we don't. And I hope and pray that it's with a heart that's melted because of the love of God in our life and our care and concern for souls. How precious is that? Emotional? Oh, it's all emotional. If my Lord cried, I need to cry. Not just for any reason. I'm not an actor who can, like actors, can cause themselves to cry. They're trained to do that. That's not where crying comes from in the Bible, folks. Crying comes from actual, real, emotional sadness, love, joy, the things that'll touch your heart and cause the tear glands to let go and the tears come down the face. He'll wash your eyes with tears. Promise you. Let us pray. When that song says, he washed my eyes with tears that I might see, it wasn't talking about the natural vision. He was talking about a spiritual vision. So it's okay. It's okay to cry inside your relationship with the Lord. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for reminding us of what you've been to us and done for us. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that it's okay to show our emotions. It's okay for us to be for you what you need us to be. We're going to praise you for that today. And if there's anyone here today that needs to make a decision for Jesus Christ, I pray, oh God, today will be that day that they commit, fall in love with Jesus so that the tears can flow. And we'll praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.